So, like I said before, I am teaching on resting in God. Resting in who?
God.
Always remember, it's always God. So, we all need rest, right? We need sleep. We need physical rest, but, you know, as important or more important, we need that emotional, that mental, that spiritual rest that you can only get from God. I don't know about you, but I get weary. I get tired. I'm at the age now, people, you know, they'll say, are you retired? And I say, no, I'm just tired. And yeah, I'm going to my 50th high school reunion next weekend. Can you believe it? Yeah, I know. Crazy, huh? I walk in, I'm going to say, who are all these old people? What's that all about? So we all have things going on in our lives. Believe me, no one is immune from the tribulations, the pressures in life, and it can wear you down. And if you run a business, I'm sure a few people in this room can relate to this. You're dealing with people, and people, you know, we all have our things, but my thing is like my people, my customers. So I'll just tell you a couple of quick little stories, because it wouldn't be a teaching without a plumbing story, right? So I get it out early in the teaching. So someone recommended me to a new customer. So I'm always kind of like, you know, because I like to have my customers trained. So, you know, it takes me a little while to train them. So, you know, this is like an investment I have to make in this customer. So she gave me this list of things. And so over 50 texts later, I actually got to go into her house. Yeah. So, and then, you know, cell phones are great, but most of my customers have my cell phone number. So, I mean, they'll just text like Friday night. I'm working on my teaching, you know, getting nice and peaceful. 10 o'clock at night, I get a text. Oh, Kip, I just want you to know. No. I don't want to bother you. I love that. Like, if you don't want to bother me, then why are you bothering me? So, but I thought you'd like to know that my master bathroom sink, there's no water coming out. So, okay, first off, they have three bathrooms. They have two sinks in their bathroom. And this is something I really don't need to know on a Friday night. But I know exactly what the problem is, if you want interested. Anyway, so, but we all have our thing. That's just my thing. And, you know, I like to kid around. I always say, what do I say about being weary? There's no rest
for the weary plumber.
That's right. And then I say on my tombstone, is going to be the motto or the epitaph. No, there's finally rest for the weary plumber. So if I'm dead and you come visit me, don't be surprised if you see, you know. But that's not really true, because there is rest. There's rest in God, and there's especially rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, which we'll get to. So that was a long introduction to a short teaching. Okay, so Psalm 37. We're going to pick it up in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Desires is petition or request. It's not like, you know, I want a steak dinner, I want a diamond necklace or whatever. It's a request. And when you delight yourself in the Lord, your heart's going to be in line with God's heart, and your requests are going to be according to his word, right? So it's always a good thing to remember. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and who brings it to pass?
He does.
Darn it. I always thought it was all about me. I thought I pray to God, then I do everything I can do to bring it to pass. That's not trusting in God. And I love to look up the Hebrew words and things, what they mean. Or Greek from the New Testament. So I looked up the word commit. And you're never going to believe what it's mostly translated as.
Right.
Roll away. It means to to roll away. And it's used mostly about accessing water in a well. So who's the fountain of living waters?
God.
Right. So when you commit your way to him, what you're doing is you're taking whatever's in the way, putting it to the side, and looking for your answers. And that's what we do. I thought that was pretty cool. And we do that by trusting in him and allowing him to bring it to pass. And that is a huge thing, because we put a lot of emphasis on believing and trusting. But it's really as important or more important to be able to receive from God. Mm-hmm. And give you another quick story, because I know you love my stories. I was working at this house, very, very nice house, really nice people. The guy's the head of cardiology for Penn Hospital. Mm-hmm. And so they have beautiful cabana. So I was working in there and I saw this painting, a watercolor on her mantle. And she's an art collector. And her main house has all these beautiful works of art. And I said, oh, that's really a nice painting. She said, Kip, I'm gonna give that painting to you. And she goes, it's from a famous Pennsylvania Impressionist painting, something Barnes. Never listened to Barnes Museum or Foundation. So I said, wow, that's really something. So I said, it's beautiful. I took it home, showed Linda, and you know, wrote a little thank you text, etc. So I did about like whatever it was, like six or seven. And she said it was valuable. I don't know how valuable it is, but you know, take her word for it. So I did this work for her. It was like whatever, $500-$600, and I decided I'm not going to send her a bill. And so she texts me and she goes, Kip, I never got a bill for you. So I said, well, you know, I said thank you. I figured I wouldn't send you, I wouldn't send your bill. She goes, Kip, then it's not a gift, is it?
No!
So she was right. I was trying to earn the gift. So she's really a great person. So I said, yeah, okay. So I sent her a bill and, you know, all was right in the world. So anyway. Don't you love my stories?
Yeah.
I'm kind of fun, interesting. At every point.
It's right? Like God spoke to you.
Yeah. So, okay, so we're coming along here. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Okay, so this word rest means to be silent or still. To cease. To just allow God to do his thing. He's going to bring it to pass. So that's what allows us to rest in him. So we have delight, we have commit, we have trust, and we have rest. And wait patiently for him. I'm not sure how your patience is. I used to have a lot of patience. I still think I do. But as you get a little bit older, I think the patience gets a little worn thinner. I don't suffer fools, you know. And but with God, sometimes there's a period between the promise and the answer. Look at Abraham. Yeah. And Abraham, you know, what Abraham kept him going was that he judged God's faithful who promised. Mm-hmm. And he was fully persuaded what God had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, that's what we always have to run through our minds with God's promises. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the things come back to the integrity of God's word in our heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at God's word, it's just, it's the truth. God, it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. He always tells the truth. So when you read God's word, you really have to believe it. Mm-hmm. So, and do you know what the adversary's first recorded words were in the Bible in Genesis?
Oh, yeah.
Yea hath God said. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yea hath God said. So that's a figure of speech, actually. It's a form of interrogation. Did God really say this? So this is what we have to know. And he, you know, he'll twist around the word. He'll get you, you know, doubting. And Jesus Christ, right? He, when he was tempted in the wilderness, he said, if thou be the Son of God. The verse or two before that, you know, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So God tells us in the Word, like who we are in Christ, you know, how we're righteous, we're justified, we're sanctified, and all these different things. Yet, we have that tendency to doubt in our minds, like who we are. And you get, it'll take you down the wrong path. Every moment, every day, we have a decision to make, whether we want to believe God's word, and, you know, it's going to be whatever, trust, confidence, faith, believing, or it's going to be doubt, worry, fear, and it's tough to believe God when you're afraid. So that's what we have to constantly run through our minds, and it's literally as every moment we have a choice. So we always want to choose what's going to give us that rest, that peace, that serenity, tranquility in our heart. And that's to trust in God, commit our way to him, delight in him. And he takes care of us. Okay. Turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait or rest thou only upon who?
God.
Wow. For my expectation or hope is from?
Him.
Okay. He only is my rock, that's my strength, and my salvation, my deliverer. He is my defense. He's the one who helps you. I shall not be moved. And that word moved means you're not going to be shaken up. You're not going to be put off course. So when these things come up in your life, you'll always have to remember that you turn to God. Mm. And you can turn many, many other places. I don't even want to name them. If you bad ideas. So, but we always want to turn to God, for my expectation is from him, and he only, it's only God. I love that. Verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Refuge is shelter. So you have to know where your shelter is. One time I was fishing, I love to go fly fishing, and the clouds were coming in. So I said, oh man, I'm not too far from my car. At that time, I had an SUV, it was a Pathfinder. So I hightailed it off the creek, down to the car, and it just opened up. I knew it was gonna blow over. So I had the tailgate up, you know, where the whole hatch comes up. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of relaxing back there, kind of feeling smug, actually, because, you know, I beat the rain. So the rain passed by. So I go to close the tailgate. And unbeknownst to me, where the license plate is a perfect receptacle for about 2 gallons of water. So, you know, I'm pretty short. So, and it wasn't a power one. It was one manual. So I reached up and pulled it down, and the water just came right in my face, right down my waders, and I said, you know, that might not have been the best shelter. So you have to know where the true shelter is, and that's God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Does anyone know what Selah means? Yeah, that's what I thought. And then I looked it up. And then it says actually that no one really knows what it means. And it's actually closely aligned to a musical thing where it's a pause between two things. So it's kind of like the musicians get to rest between two things. It's mostly used in Psalms. So, but really no one knows, but I thought that was probably pretty cool. Like, it's like a repose, like, you know. So, so here is a key to resting in God, is when we pour out our heart towards Him. And prayer is a huge thing to relieve oneself of the cares and concerns of this world. And, you know, I think one of the greatest, most poignant prayers ever was Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He just poured out His heart to God. I mean, when I read that record, I just really moves me. And it's not just, you know, it's not like drive-through prayer, like you're going up to McDonald's in the driving window and, you know, I like a Big Mac, you know, a milkshake, you know, they're just gonna, they will say, do you want fries with that? No, fries around, you know, pull around and, you know, collect your order. It's not like that. It's like, you know, really, God doesn't ask for much from us, really doesn't ask. Believe His word, that pleases Him, and He asks us to cast our cares upon Him, and He asks us to trust Him, He asks us to pour out our heart to Him. And we could do that, especially when we're feeling burdened down. So, I think I'd be remiss in my teaching if I didn't go to Philippians 4 after this to talk about not being anxious for anything. So Philippians 4, verse 6, I think we've all been here once or twice to read these wonderful words. So the word says, be careful or anxious for nothing. Okay. So God never lies, right? Always tells the truth. And we're told to be anxious for how much?
Nothing.
Okay. Who has ever been anxious about anything? But here's how we combat that. But in everything. So here's the contrast. Nothing, everything. God wants to take care of everything in our lives. So in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You know, a lot of times when people quote this verse, they actually forget that phrase in there. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. People will quote it and they forget the thanksgiving. And the thankfulness is huge, huge. We're always to be grateful to God for what He's done for us. And, you know, our example is Jesus Christ. Put on the mind of Christ, right? And when He gave Himself for us at the Last Supper, remember we had communion last week? It says, when He gave thanks, He took the bread and broke it after He gave thanks. So He was thankful to be our substitute. And then it says, do this in remembrance of Him. So every time we, you know, break bread, we do this in remembrance of Him. And part of that remembrance is how thankful He was to be our substitute. He took the wine and said, you know, after He gave thanks, you know, this is for the remission and forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of Me. So that's what we do. Every time we really eat or drink, we're doing this to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ so that we can have God's rest. He's it is finished, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is finished, right? Be still, know that I am God. How many times does God say in his word, the battle is not yours, but mine.
Okay.
Stand ye still, fear not, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and then here, be careful. Again, it means to take no thought. It's actually related, it's actually translated more in thought than care. And it reminds me of that record of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, right? Where it says, I have it written down here somewhere, it says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So that word careful is translated three times in there. The first word, take, and then no thought for the morrow, and then for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so there's some great things to take away from that. And the context is, you know, don't get caught up in the things of life, you know, your food, your clothes, your shelter, etc., etc. But, you know, and especially don't worry about the future. You know, we have enough to try to figure out day by day. And one thing that'll really fatigue you and wear you down is if you worry about the future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the way it is. And we are clearly taught not to do that. And again, the context of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air is it says, the verse before, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto thee. So we have to keep the priorities right in our life, right? So we're always seeking God, you know, we're always standing on his promises. And all these other things will fall into place. Okay, so I just want to go back to Psalm one more time. Psalm 46. Verse 1, God is a refuge, is our refuge and strength. So we have strength involved now too. You know, when we go to him for shelter, he strengthens you. We can't do it by ourselves. And again, if you want to wear yourself out, try to do it by yourself. And another thing I forgot to mention is if you want to wear yourself out, fight a battle that's already been won. Look, right? You know, try to make yourself more righteous. Try to, you know, live a perfect life. It's not going to happen. You know, we all fall short and come short of the glory of God. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. It's just, you know, if you're, you know, condemning yourself, feeling guilty, etc., that's all. It's looking at yourself instead of looking at God. And let me tell you, you know, when Resurrection Sunday was last week, when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that sealed the deal, right? The adversary had no more hold over you. And then when we got the gift of Holy Spirit, oh my gosh, the same power lives in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Greatest power ever. You know, that little bit of light just dispels all darkness. All we have to do is resist the adversary and he will flee. Flee, run away. But you have to resist. And we do that by believing God's word. Okay, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah again. And then in, go down to verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. Wow. Be still. And this word, be still, is another great Hebrew word. It means to sink down, relax. Isn't that pretty cool?
Mm-hmm.
It means to let go. And that's what we have to do. That's our rest. We can give it to God. We do it by prayer, by believing, by trusting, by knowing that He is our refuge, our shelter, very mm-hmm. present help in times of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He only, right? Our expectation only comes from Him. He is our hope. Be still, know that I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So that's pretty cool. So turn to Matthew now. Matthew 11. I love this. I don't know why. I just like this so much, but I like lots of things. What's wrong with that? Nothing, exactly. It's a quote from It's a Wonderful Life, in case you didn't recognize it. Anyway, okay, Jesus Christ talking. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
So we're encouraged to come, something we do, you know, we come unto the Word, to Jesus Christ, we're coming to God. And we do that when we're laboring. And labor here means you're fatigued or exhausted. Like, you know, you've got nothing else to give.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to God for that rest. And heavy laden is when you're burdened or weighted down. And there's lots of things in life that can do that to you. And again, it could be a physical thing. We all have our thing, but it could be, you know, sin consciousness. All that stuff's been taken care of
mm-hmm.
by God. Our burden has been lifted. I mean, you know, there is no weight on our shoulders yet. I mean, I put weight on my own shoulders all the time. I mean, and then I consciously have to be like, you know, okay, you know, cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And I was thinking, you know, ever see those parking garages where they had the spikes that, you know, I mean, that's me sometimes. I like, you know, the price has been paid, I pull over, and then I always want to back up for some reason. It's like, it's not a good thing to do. So, and I will give you rest. Rest means to cease from any movement, to recover and collect one's strength, to keep quiet and calm with patient expectation.
Mm.
And that's what God's rest does for us. It allows us to gather our strength, allows us to rejuvenate. It refreshes us. And the yoke is that which joins us together. We're yoked with the Master, yoked with Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
Mm.
And you know, the Word actually says, not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Yeah.
So when you're yoked with the Master Jesus Christ, you know, He says the Word has made us free, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the truth is we're made free. So don't put yourself back in bondage. And, you know, there's a lot in the Word about like the children of Israel and us and, you know, I was reading a record of where they had just left, and they wanted to go back into bondage. They hit the Red Sea, and you know, they saw 600 chariots behind them. Said to Moses, you know, why did you bring us here to die? We were fine back there. It's like they, you know, they rewrite history. I saw the Ten Commandments. I know it wasn't fine. I saw the movie. It wasn't fine. And, you know, but that's, and I used to get, you know, cop a little attitude, like, oh, what was wrong with them, you know? But I do the same thing, you know? I've been delivered. I've been set free. And yet when it comes to the obstacle, the Red Sea in my life, I'm like, you know, you just get deflated. Like, how am I going to overcome this, right? And then, you know, it's like, oh, you know, maybe it wasn't too bad. Just, you know, just being afraid of this one little thing in my life, you know. That's not that bad, is it? Well, yeah, it actually is. Because it means you're not trusting God in that area of your life. And that was one of the places where God said, okay, keep quiet now. You know, let me do my thing. Watch and learn. And that actually where it says to stand still, it means to hold your ground. Don't go back. And, you know, what do? You know, parted the Red Sea. They walked on dry ground. How about that? Exceeding above all you can ask or think, right? That's God. And then, you know, we know the rest. And, but they, you know, they didn't enter into God's rest. Before they even left, they were promised a land of rest, Canaan, right? And like, I forget what it was, maybe like within days, weeks at the most, they were ready to go in. They sent out the 12 spies, and God had already promised. He said, you know, how would he say? He didn't say go in and conquer. He said go in and take, or whatever it was.
Go right on in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all ready for you. So the 12 spies went in, and two out of the 12, Caleb and Joshua, said, let's do it.
Let's go.
It's a done deal. And the other 10 said, no, we are as grasshoppers in their sights, because there was giants there, there was things. Mm-hmm. But you know something, there's always going to be giants out there. There's always going to be things to overcome in our lives. But we have to see ourselves as God sees us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not grasshoppers to get smudged on. We are sons of God with power, and we have to take a stand. And it wasn't a popular stand. They wanted to kill them. And but that's what we have to do. We have to stand on God's word, because the truth is truth. And we can't be fooled by our five senses, right? This, and five senses could come in handy, but you always have to weigh them against the truth of God's word. And, you know, and there was consequences for their unbelief. And so they had to wait 40 years. A year for every day they were in Canaan. Wow, so that unbelieving generation died off. And then they got to go into the promised land. And even though they went into the promised land, and that, and it said that God gave them rest, there was still another rest that was greater than the rest that they received. So turn to Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll pick up at verse 8. It says, for if Jesus is actually Joshua, the Old Testament Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, the rest of God, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. See, God was our example, because it said on the seventh day he rested. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because Everything was finished. It was complete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our rest in the complete works of Jesus Christ. It is finished. So let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. It's kind of interesting because it's like, wait a second, I'm laboring to enter into rest. But it really just means to put the effort in. Like, learn about Jesus Christ, learn about God, learn the Word. Diligent efforts, spudazo, with, you know, with the time factor involved. Like, you know, we only have so much time in this world, in this life, so make the best use of it. And so as let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And that example of unbelief was, you know, the 10 who wouldn't believe the promise of God's word. And verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't this interesting that the context of this verse, again, we quote this verse all the time, but the context is rested in God.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. And you know, quick means to be alive, lively. Powerful means effectual. It's effectual. The word of God is effectual, has great effect. Sharper is more keen. It cuts with a single stroke. We don't have to beat someone over the head with God's word. All it takes is, you know, one word. We're not here. We're not defense attorneys. We speak God's word with boldness. And it's not up to us to convince anyone. You know, if you want to convince someone, convince yourself.
Right.
I never tell anyone what to do with their lives. I teach God's word, and it says that the word is the critic. The word is going to convict someone's conscience. So you just teach the word, and then let God work in people's heart to willing to do the good pleasure. So it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then I'm going to close in Hebrews 12. In verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking, this is where our eyes are. We are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. That's where our eyes are. That's where our affections are. We are seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. That is our place of rest. Amen?